Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. He's the Fabulist. We appreciate it. Did a lot of extra work this week when I took a couple of 2-3 days off. So we thank Mr. Rob Center for being our fabulous producer. Well, drum roll, please. Back on the news line with us, movie Mike McGranahan, the professional movie critic. He's a women in cinema advocate, and he's an author, calling back. And we're going to be talking about the entertainment industry. Usually we get a new movie review, but we haven't done that in over 3 months. So we've been missing a lot of opportunities here. But movie Mike, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, I do appreciate it. I don't think it's feasible in our allotted time to talk about the total impact on the entertainment industry. But did the whole entertainment industry, the filmmaking process and everything, and showing of new movies, did everything grind to a halt?
Yeah, pretty much. Production stopped on everything that was being made. So there's at some point going to be a lull where we might not have as much new product because there's all these months of no filming. Of course, the releasing of movies has changed. A lot of the big films that were supposed to come out this summer have been postponed, although a number of the smaller films or the mid-range pictures are actually shifting what they're doing and are going or have gone to video-on-demand services. In fact, just the other day, I screened the new Jon Stewart-directed movie called Irresistible, which is a political comedy with Steve Carell and Rose Byrne that was supposed to come out, I believe it was this month, and now it's actually just going to go straight to on-demand in a few weeks. So definitely some shifts in that sense, how things are being released and where they're going.
Can a movie stay in the black using the on-demand format?
Apparently they can if they're lower budgeted. I don't think it would make sense for example, Marvel to release Black Widow that way. But a smaller film like Irresistible that probably only costs, you know, $15-20 million to make tops, that makes a lot more sense. And Universal apparently did very well with Trolls World Tour, which is aimed at families. They apparently did over $100 million in rental business on that, although I suspect that's probably more the exception rather than the rule.
Okay, so that was a home run in the on-demand market. What about the making of films? All the different filmmakers that are, you know, probably spread out all over the world, they halted for a time. Can they continue in a COVID world?
Well, there's definitely going to have to be some changes. There was a story this week that James Cameron is preparing to ramp back up into production on his Avatar sequels and that he was working on ways to keep everybody safe in this COVID world. So there's definitely going to be some changes in how things are done. I'm not quite sure what those changes will be yet, because if you're filming, for example, a love scene or a romantic scene, you have to have the two leads together without masks. So there's going to be some changes, but I think they'll figure out ways to keep everyone safe.
Well, and I think with testing and so on, you can kind of find out who might be a carrier of it, you know, before they're symptomatic or anything. Plus, you might end up with downtime on a set where individuals contract the COVID-19. I mean, that's you got hundreds of people involved in making a film, just law of averages. That could happen. Plus, fight scenes are intimate, too, so to speak. You know, people
right.
In close quarters with each other. Okay, so filmmaking is going to be considerably different. When do we have any new dates for big releases? You mentioned Black Widow, and of course Avatar is funny to talk about that being delayed after, what is it, 20 years after the first one or so. But do we have any new release dates on the calendar?
Yeah, Black Widow, which was supposed to open May 1st, is now coming out Thanksgiving. The James Bond movie, No Time to Die, is coming out around there, too. A number of the other movies, like Fast and Furious 9, are just jumping back a full year. That'll come out in May of next year. There are still a couple big movies slated for this summer. Christopher Nolan's Tenet is still set for July 17th. Mulan got bumped to the week after that. And Wonder Woman 84, which was supposed to open this actually today, that's now coming out at the middle of August. I want to say the 15th, the 17th, whatever that middle Friday in August is.
Okay, good. So we are going to have a movie summer. Well, fabulous. One final question that relates to the business. Are we going to see fewer movie makers, movie companies, and so on? You know, just like we're going to see fewer restaurants after this, are we going to weed out some of the movie makers out there?
I think that's the big question that we're all kind of waiting to see, exactly how big the toll of COVID-19 is going to be on the entertainment industry. I try to be very optimistic and hope that things will get back to normal and that we won't see those kinds of changes, but you never know. Depends on how long it drags out.
All right, so yeah, so we are going to get to talk about this. Now, what about AMC? You mentioned you named them in particular as a movie house that's teetering, I believe was the word you used.
Yeah, AMC, I mean, this obviously affects us because our local multiplex is an AMC. They've had some real hardcore financial problems anyway, a lot of debt that they accumulated, and they're in real jeopardy because of COVID-19. They released a filing this week saying that they have substantial doubt about their ability to continue operating after a certain period of time. Part of that is because they are generating no income right now and have not been for months. They're still paying rent to landlords at all of their theater locations and things like that. They don't know how soon the movie-going business will ramp up. Will people turn out in the numbers they turned out in before when theaters reopen? So AMC really struggling to stay afoot here. They do anticipate that they'll be able to reopen this summer, but they don't know in the long term whether they're going to have enough cash flow to remain in operation.
What's your view of the future of the movie house?
I hope it sticks around. I mean, the issue here, when you have a movie like Trolls World Tour that they release on demand and it makes $100 million, that makes the studio say, do we even need the theaters? Can we just release the movies directly to home? They're already pushing to shorten the theatrical window to have movies play in the theater and then immediately go on demand, and movie theaters don't want that. They want the traditional 90-day window where a movie can't go to on-demand or DVD for at least 3 months after it finishes its theatrical run. So, we don't know. We're seeing that there are other ways for movies to survive during a time like this. Whether that has any lasting or permanent change remains to be seen, but I personally hope movie theaters continue to thrive and that everybody goes back to them when they reopen.
Well, yeah, there's just nothing like being there with the great sound system and the screen and a few other quiet patrons and the popcorn and the comfortable chair. It's certainly a great experience that a lot of people enjoy, and it's a good social event. As soon as we can socialize again, that'll be fun to go to the movies with friends and family and so on. Okay, anything else on the movie sort of business angle of things before I ask about some specific things that are happening?
I just think this has been a really interesting time because drive-ins are thriving. Drive-ins are a place that are generally safe to go because you stay in your car. And drive-ins around the country, there aren't many left, but they are seeing a massive boom in business.
All right, well, yeah, we do have a drive-in around here, so we know that they're up and running. So, yeah, we're all grateful for that. Plus, they became a place for some high school graduations around here where you could watch the video on the screen of that the students produced along the way. Okay, Just Mercy. Tell us about this and the timeliness of this film that's out.
Right, Just Mercy, a film that opened in limited release at Christmas nationwide in January. And based on a true story, Michael B. Jordan plays a lawyer in the South who works to free an innocent black man played by Jamie Foxx from death row. And Warner Brothers has announced that in support of the Black Lives Matter movement in the wake of the George Floyd killing, they are making Just Mercy free to watch on all streaming services. Because it is a timely film and the themes addressed in the movie could not be more relevant right now. So if you're looking for a really outstanding picture dealing with some of the things that our country is talking about right now, you can go to any on-demand service and rent Just Mercy for free. I gave it 4 stars when I reviewed it. It's a phenomenal film, and I hope everybody will take a chance to look at it and think about the themes of the story.
4 mistrials.
Was that what I gave it?
Yep, 4.
I might have. Okay.
Yep, that's what it was. No,
I remember 4. I couldn't remember what the thing was, but
it's the only thing I keep track of in my whole life. So I do appreciate that. Okay, some more streaming recommendations. I want to tell you, I want to thank you. You've been a tremendous help in the early part of this with your recommendations. My lovely bride and I are working through a couple of Netflix and Amazon series now. Some more streaming recommendations, please.
Yeah, one of the movies that was supposed to open this summer that's on demand today is a movie called Shirley, and Elizabeth Moss plays the lottery author Shirley Jackson. You remember that story, The Lottery, right? We all read that in high school. You remember that one?
I do not recall that, but you can recap it briefly.
It's about a lottery, and everybody in this town is excited for the lottery, and you think that they're going to win some great prize, but actually the person who wins it gets stoned to death.
Oh, another happy, another feel-good
movie.
One of those
things that's required reading for lit students.
Okay.
But Elizabeth Moss plays Shirley Jackson, and it's another dynamic performance from her. She's just been on an incredible run of performances here. This movie is free if you have Hulu. You can also stream it, paying for it through other on-demand services. So that's one that I highly recommend for this weekend.
And that's called Shirley?
Shirley, yes.
Okay. All right. And another one before we let you go here.
Yeah, the other one I would recommend is free on Amazon Prime. It's called The Vast of Night, and it's a low-budget science fiction masterpiece about a radio DJ and a switchboard operator who are investigating a mysterious signal that's humming through their tiny town during the 1950s. Kind of almost like a radio play, because the suspense comes from the dialogue rather than action, but it really works. It's one of my favorite films of the year. So The Vast of Night, free on Amazon Prime.
All right, so Shirley and Vast of Night, your two new ones. Shirley's on Hulu, and you can find it elsewhere, and Amazon has Vast of Night. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. Thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk about some imminent openings that are going to be happening. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. See
you. Appreciate that. Movie Mike McGranahan on the Newsline, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate. We invite you to check out his many reviews at aisleseat.com, and his appearances are always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.